It's something I've never been able to comprehend, how the good news gets around, because the moment after we opened in Philadelphia, the lines began to form at the theater that we were going to play in New York.
It's the heartbeat of Broadway.
Another opening, another show. In Philly, Boston, or Baltimore. A chance for stage folks to say hello. Another opening of another show.
Your Heart Association, together with this station, presents The Heartbeat of Broadway. Stories of the heartaches and headaches in bringing some of the top musical productions of all time to triumph on Broadway, as told by the show people who helped make theater history.
Another opening of another show.
Today, in a special salute to the 1959 Heart Fund, we bring you the story behind the story of a collaboration that was 400 years in the making between the Bard of Avon, William Shakespeare, and the pet of Park Avenue, Cole Porter. The result? Kiss Me Kate. Now, your narrator, the famous columnist, Leonard Lyons.
Thank you. Yes, Kiss Me Kate was a collaboration, in a sense. Shakespeare's comedy, Taming of the Shrew, was used to establish a plot within a plot, resulting in a modern play with Elizabethan overtones. So to tell you the whole story behind the story of Kiss Me Kate, we'd have to go back to 1594, when Shakespeare wrote The Shrew. But let's settle for 1950 and find out about Kate. John Wilson, the famous director of the musical, tells us how it all started.
It started with two young men who had never met each other, sitting in a lawyer's office waiting for an appointment. One was St. Suber, and the other was Lemuel Ayres. Suber had done a version of Taming of the Shrew and was filled with ideas that it might make a good Broadway musical.
Lemire's agreed with Suber, and they decided to find themselves a writer. That's where Bella Spiewak, who together with her husband Sam have written some of the top Broadway and Hollywood shows, came into the picture.
I knew Lem Ayres and Shirley, his wife and children, all from way back. And then one day he called me up and he said, would you be interested in doing a musical version of Taming of the Shrew? And I said, well, I might. He said, when could you come up and talk to me? I said, I'll come tomorrow.
And they talked, and Bella blocked out a plot, and then they discussed composers. Bella, who suggested Cole Porter?
I wanted Cole right from the beginning. At first, he thought the job would be much too difficult. But we started work. Right out of the Shakespeare Shrew, I underlined the titles that he could use for the Shrew part.
Alfred Drake, you remember those titles.
You know, Where is the Life That Late I Led is a wonderful beginning to a song.
Where is the life that late I led? Where is it now? Totally dead.
I've come to wive it wealthily in Padua is a wonderful beginning to a song.
I've come to wive it wealthily in Padua. I've come to wive it wealthily in Padua.
And in one instance, actually used the exact Shakespearean lyrics where Pat Morrison sings,
I am ashamed that women are so simple to offer war where they should kneel for peace or seek for rule, supremacy, and sway when they are born to
Words and music by that rising young songwriting team, Cole Porter and William Shakespeare. What a combination. Incidentally, Pat, what was your reaction when you first heard the Porter score?
Oh, I loved it. I went out to his house to audition, Brentwood, California, and he went to the piano and played it for me, and I just loved it right off the bat.
And of course he loved you right off the bat. A wonderful choice when we remember how Pat sang Cole's So In Love, written without the assistance of William Shakespeare.
Strange dear, but true dear, when I'm close to you, dear, I'm yours till I die. How
Well, Kiss Me, Kate now had producers, a book, a score, a cast. But something was missing, of course, money. Here's Jack Wilson again.
Well, oddly enough, it was extremely difficult to raise money for the show. And we had to have, during that summer, and it was a very hot summer, 18 auditions to try and raise money. We had them all over town. We had them for social groups. We had them for rich nobodies. We didn't care where it came from as long as we could find it.
Lisa Kirk, after auditioning for the part of Bianca, was asked by the producers to sing at some of the money-raising auditions.
Well, I then called my agent and I said, well, what do you think? Because usually, you see, when you do auditions for backers, you never get the part. It just is the thing in show business. But my agent said, well, goodness, this is Mr. Cole Porter and Sam and Bella Spiewak writing the book. It's such a wonderful setup and you love the song, so, Lisa, why don't you do it?
So you did it and got the job anyway. And at that first audition, you sang this showstopper.
If a custom tailored vet asks me out for something wet, when the vet begins to pet, I cry hooray. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. I enjoy a tender pass by the boss of Boston, Mass. Though his pass is middle class and did not Tobacco Bay. But I'm always true to you, darling, in my fashion. Yes, I'm always true to you, darling, in my way. There's a madman known as Mac who is planning to attack. If his mad attack means a Cadillac, okay. Mais je suis toujours fidèle, darling, in my fashion. Oui, je suis toujours fidèle, darling, in my way.
Mind if I interrupt here for a moment, Leonard?
Stage center is yours, Alfred.
Thank you. I've been thinking back to some of the things mentioned about the problems involved in producing Kiss Me, Kate. It takes a great many elements to put on a play, doesn't it? Writers, actors, directors, composers, designers, musicians. And it takes backers, too. Without financial support, the greatest talent in the greatest play would never get on the boards. And financial backing is essential, too, in one of the most vital dramas of our century, the fight against heart disease. In the past, your support of your Heart Association's research program has helped save thousands of hearts and lives from premature death or disability. But research must continue if our scientists are to find the answers to hardening of the arteries and high blood pressure, two conditions that cause 90% of all heart damage. The most capable scientific minds in the country are working on these problems, and they need your backing. Think of it as an investment in the future of your heart and the hearts of your loved ones. Back your heart fund by sending a generous contribution to your local Heart Association or to HEART, care of your post office. Remember, your best way to fight heart disease is through your heart fund.
Sometimes even the wisest of show people can't anticipate an audience's reaction. Pat Morrison and Alfred Drake tell us about just such an experience involving Wunderbar.
Most people who play Wunderbar think of it as a very gay, romantic song, when actually it was written for comedy. And if you remember the play, these two very hammy actors are reminiscing about their early days in operetta, and they start into this song, which is supposed to be a takeoff on all those operetta waltzes.
Gazing down on the Jungfrau
from a secret chalet for two.
You'd be surprised the number of letters that were written in saying, but you can't gaze down on the Jungfrau. There's nothing higher than the Jungfrau.
Unless you're in a helicopter. It's the highest mountain in the Alps.
Which seemed to mean, of course, they hadn't gotten the point at all, which was that we were making fun of a kind of old-fashioned operetta where lines like that happened. The audience wouldn't have much of that. They liked the song so much that they insisted that we had to do it pretty straight.
And of course, you ended up doing it the way the audience wanted.
Wunderbar, wunderbar. Star above, what a bright shining star, like a love, it's born.
3 weeks or 4 weeks that you're in rehearsal, you don't see anything or know anything except that show.
That's Bella Spiewak again, explaining the origin of one of the numbers in Kiss Me, Kate.
The most dire events can take place, the most calamitous things, earthquakes, floods, fires, but what's important is the show, and that's all. So that was the notion. Instead of it being Philadelphia, New Haven, Boston, it was Padua and Venice and so forth and so on. So that was, we open in Venice.
We open in Venice. We next play Verona, then on to Cremona.
Not the last in Cremona.
Our next jump is Parma, that dopey, mopey menace. Then Mantua, then Padua, then we open again. Where? In Venice.
That troupe opened in Venice, but Kiss Me, Kate was destined to open in Philadelphia, and that took some doing. Here's Bella again.
Well, as usual, you know, with musicals, the book never gets a chance to get on stage. The dancers take over. Your lighting people, your orchestra has to rehearse, because we haven't had any orchestra rehearse up to that time. It's always done with a piano, generally out of tune. We got the stage at dress rehearsal. At 4 o'clock, we put on the dress rehearsal for the critics.
And the critics loved it. And that night, the curtain rose on the first performance of Kiss Me, Kate.
Something I've never been able to comprehend, how the good news gets around, because the moment after we opened in Philadelphia, the lines began to form at the theater that we were going to play in New York.
Start. You cross your fingers and hold your heart. It's turned from time and away we go. Another opening up, another opening up, another show.
It was another opening, all right, but it wasn't just another show. It was Kiss Me, Kate, unanimously acclaimed by the critics and the public. Before we bring down the curtain on our Hot Fun production, I'd like to call back several of our principals for a final word. Pat Morrison?
This month is American Heart Month. Time for you to help every heart in your family by supporting your Heart Fund. Back your Heart Fund by sending a generous contribution to your local heart association or to Heart, care of your post office.
This is Bella Spiewak doing a little rewriting on Pat Morrison's curtain speech, and it's simply this. Remember, when you help your heart fund, you help your heart.
And this is Leonard Lyons again, thanking Bella Spiewak, Pat Morrison, Alfred Drake, Lisa Kirk, and John Wilson for bringing us the story behind the story of Kiss Me, Kate. May I add just one thought? Please help save hearts and lives by giving to your heart association. After all, your best way to fight heart disease is through your heart fund.
You've been listening to The Heartbeat of Broadway, presented by this station as a public service in cooperation with your Heart Association. Remember, during American Heart Month, give to your Heart Association or to Heart, care of your post office.